risk planning, so forecasting external risks such as transport mode. So you can even forecast a risk. We talked about the risk such as, you know, if there are any natural calamities like storms, floods. Even you know that if there are floods, etc., or earthquake in a particular region, it tells the logistics industry to avoid those routes. I remember a couple of years ago when there were floods in parts of Andhra and Maharashtra, the truckers were forewarned and they actually diverted the trucks to different routes. So thus their operations were not affected. The trucks did not get, you know, stuck because of the floods, and they had a easy passage. Yes, I do agree that few trucks which you know, were already on the way before the floods actually occurred, only those were struck. But immediate action was taken, and part of the machine learning and the artificial intelligence also takes all these things into consideration. So it can pick out the unstructured data from news reports, etc., and it will tell you what are the corrective actions that can be taken. Maintenance requirement. So if any equipment requires a maintenance, then you know, that can be foretold. We will come to this point again, because maintenance requirement, this is where IoT plays a major role. Internet of Things, where you have the software monitoring the condition of the equipment. So it can be a vehicle, it can be a machine, it can be an air conditioning equipment. If it finds that there is abnormal temperature rise, or there is a vibration or something, it will immediately sense that there is a condition which requires immediate attention. And this information in Internet of Things will be relayed back to the manufacturer. So the manufacturer actually gets a heads up before the equipment breaks down. So you can ensure uninterrupted service of the equipment with Internet of Things. But maintenance requirement, so this also can be taken care of by the big data. Big data also will tell you what is the mean time period between a breakdown, or mean time period, you know, for, let's say, change of battery of a truck, or the change of tires, etc. Because, you know, beyond a point, you will find that there'll be frequent breakdowns, there'll be tire punctures, etc., when the tire actually wears out. So you can use it to predict many of the actions that need to be taken. Delivery routes, we have already talked about it, that how it can tell you which is the fastest delivery. You know, it could be a slightly longer route, but if you know, also in terms of cost, so there are routes which may be slightly longer, but you can avoid toll, and thus you know, you save the cost, or you would save time because of congestion. Road and weather conditions, we already talked about it. Predicting what is required with algorithms. This we talked about, you know, how the planning of the trucks is done. That means if 100 tons of material has to be, you know, delivered, which truck should have which material for which customer, depending upon where it has to be delivered, and by what route the truck has to move. So these predictions, or rather these algorithms, will actually work out and tell you what is the most optimum planning for the trucks and the route that they should take. It will ensure fastest delivery at lowest cost with the lowest fuel consumption. So is extremely important in terms of risk planning. So digitization can actually give you these benefits. Again, we come to customer experience. One of the priorities of the logistics industry is to anticipate customer expectations. In this context, it is important to determine what, when, and where the customer wants, to create solutions and act accordingly. I'll give you an example. You have online pharmacies. Now, this is a classic case, because the pharmacy requires that you upload a prescription, or doctor's prescription. Now, generally, if you are suffering from a chronic disease like diabetes or blood pressure or any other kind of disease which is chronic in nature, the medicines have to be repeatedly taken. So what the pharmacies do, they know the medicine which has been prescribed to you, and they know what dosage has been prescribed to you from the prescription, and they will store the medicines, or they will make provisions to receive the medicines in their stock in such a way that they will be ready to supply it to you at the shortest possible notice. I personally, order some medicines through one of these online pharmacies, and I remember that in the past, one of the pharmacy to whom I had ordered some medicines, they used to take 2 to 3 days. Currently, the pharmacy that I am using, they are delivering the material the same day or the next day. Now, you see, this is the power of using the customer data. They know that I have to take a certain medicine on an ongoing basis. They know that this medicine has to be, let's say, taken for 3 months. So they know that I'm going to buy this medicine from them. Why do they know that? One, they give me exceptional service. Two, they give me the best possible price. They are optimizing their operations in the background by optimizing their inventory. They don't carry the inventory. They will plan the material to come in such a way. They know that I have ordered medicines for 1 month, and they know that my next order, they can expect it by a certain period, around 1 week here and there, the next month. And this is one classic example. Another example is the various apps that we have, mobile app for grocery delivery. They deliver everything from milk to milk-based products to groceries, etc. Here also, they actually study the pattern of your ordering. What do you order regularly? So there may be certain kind of a detergent, certain kind of a health drink, or a certain kind of diet that you follow. And with that, they will ensure that they have stock. And you are not the only one. This they know about you, but they also know this information for another, let's say, few thousand people. And they consolidate the requirement. So they are going to order the material as per the sale that is likely to happen. So again, they have a demand forecasting model, which is very, very accurate. And they optimize their inventories. So the inventory doesn't lie for many days. It comes and it goes. They may even time the inventory in such a way that every time the inventory level falls, it will be replenished. But at no point of time, they will have an inventory more than a certain number, which will be a fraction of their month's sale. So this is about customer service or customer experience, which in turn is also helping the company optimize their operations. Big data should be used in logistics industry to identify customer segmentation. So we talked about e-commerce, we talked about profitability of the customer, we talked about customers who have very high percentage of returns. So this is segmentation. Segmentation of people who order large value, people who order medium value, or people who order only once in a while. So various kind of segmentation happens through the big data. Optimize interactions. So they also optimize interaction. And you can imagine the interaction will be highest with the customers who are most profitable and customers who are the biggest buyers. Understand customer needs in the future. So we talked about the grocery and the pharma model. They understand the customer's needs and they tailor their offering in such a way because they understand the customer needs. Logistics companies that use big data effectively and reach comprehensive information about their customers can both increase service and product quality and develop their customer portfolio. I don't need to explain this because I already explained it through the grocery, the the online pharmacy and various other models. So it is self-explanatory how big data can help you. For example, when working with a system called data visualization, customers can track the delivery schedule and location in real time with the help of mobile devices. This can solve the obligation to wait at home for cargo packages, which has become one of the biggest problems of the customer. And you know, there is no longer an obligation to wait, because today you can even dictate whether it is online grocery, whether it's a quick delivery service, you can schedule what time you want to receive the material, or even e-commerce. So you decide what time you want the delivery person. So if you are going, you and your family is going to be out of the home, you can give a time when they will be available, or you can leave instructions that the product can be left with your security of your building. So this is again customer experience. Coming to the big data case study, and this is about the Google file system. So as the number of internet users grew throughout the last decade, Google was challenged with how to store so much user data on its traditional servers. Google needed an extensive, distributed, highly fault-tolerant file system to store and process the queries. In response, Google developed the Google file system. This is slightly technical. So the GFS architecture consists of one master and multiple chunk servers. You know, Google has servers which are spread across the world. And data is stored also depending upon where the data will be used, so that, you know, there is a fastest response to the user. Multiple chunk servers or slave machines. The master machine contains metadata, and the chunk servers or the slave machines store data in a distributed fashion. Whenever a client on an API, that is application programming interface, wants to read the data, the client contacts the master, which then responds with the metadata information. The client uses this metadata information to send a read or write request to the slave machine to generate a response. The files are divided into fixed size chunks and distributed across the chunk services or the slave machines. Second case study, and this is our DHL. So DHL has embedded sensors in all of its delivery vehicles with GPS enabled smartphones covering any gap. So wherever the vehicles are not GPS embedded sensors are there, then the smartphone acts or fills that gap. That means the driver or the attendant accompanying the vehicle has a GPS enabled device or a mobile phone, which actually will help track the position of the vehicle. A third party validates these sensors for accuracy. So the sensors which are there in the vehicle, they are validated by a third party, for the accuracy, and then the reliability and timeliness data from this sensor is used when DHL is bidding for a new contract. Now, what do they mean by this? So let us say that they are already executing a contract for a company. Now, every company will have a different size of packet or parcels. The frequency with which they ship them would be different. Now, what would a typical company like DHL look for? They will look for parcels which are large, which means that, you know, the charges being earned, the revenue which is being earned, will be sizable for the kind of services offered. That means the vehicle has to go specifically to a destination to deliver the parcel. What is the kind of a fuel consumption? What is the distance traveled? What is the manpower or the resources being utilized? If it's a heavy thing, they may require additional manpower to actually deliver the material to the customer. And all this information, which is part of the big data, is being captured and analyzed. So whenever they have to bid for a new contract with that particular customer, the profitability is analyzed. and they will make a very informed decision as to do they need to increase the rates being charged, or do they need to reduce it, or do they need to keep it the same. So if they find that the profitability, it's not that profitable because the parcels being delivered are small, the locations are far, and it requires extra manpower or resources to make the deliveries, the cost of delivering or providing service is high. So in such a case, it will prompt the company, or it will help the company make a decision that it's not profitable, or to make it profitable, they need to actually quote for higher rates. So DHL has developed smart trucks to enhance route planning based on the data taken from the GPS tracker and the roads. So we talked about this, you know, that how the GPS can be used. We have seen that even when you are using a GPS to go from one place to the other, it will show you different routes or routes, and it will also tell you how much time it will take and which will be the route for the shortest time. So same thing here, the smart trucks are guided by the shortest route or the route which will, you know, result in a quicker delivery. So route planning based on the data taken from GPS tracker and the roads, so road conditions, etc. The telematics database allows drivers to receive quick route updates and avoid traffic jams. So suddenly, let us say that there is an accident and there is a traffic jam, it will warn the driver and it will ask him to change the route to avoid the traffic jam. So traffic jam caused by accidents, weather conditions, etc. We talked about this weather conditions when we were talking about the airlines and the shipping companies, correct? So weather conditions, etc. So far, smart trucks has decreased the total number of miles by 15%. So by using this technology, they have reduced the mileage of the truck, meaning the actual distance covered by the trucks by 15%, helping reduce fuel consumption and lessen the CO2 emission. Because today we are increasingly talking about sustainability, and we are talking about carbon footprint, etc. So we are also talking about the CO2 emissions, and using these technologies actually help you lessen the CO2 emissions. So coming to challenges in big data. No organization can function without data these days. With huge amounts of data being generated every second from business transactions, sales figures, customer logs, and stakeholders' data is the fuel that drives companies. All this data gets piled up in huge data sets that is referred to as big data. So this is true, and it is, you know, the data is generated from every transaction, be it, you know, the orders, be it the purchase order being released by the company, be it the manufacturing data, even in terms of logistics, the invoicing data, which may refer to the different customers, different products, product-wise data, location-wise data, that means, you know, the location to which the material is being delivered, etc., tax-related data. So there is a huge amount of data which is generated in any ERP system. And, you know, basically, big data relies on all this data. So the volume of the data is one of the challenges that you face. This data needs to be analyzed to enhance decision making. Thus, there are some challenges of big data encountered by companies. So first one we are going to talk about is volume. Volume is the amount of data that represents all aspects of your supply chain. It doesn't require a sophisticated supply chain to generate millions of data points and records. How are you going to store volumes of detailed freight data? This includes the transport management system data, ERP or the warehouse management system data, and item level data, tracking data, and freight invoice data. You have a mountain of data to sift through and need to collect all of it easily. So as we discussed, one is the invoicing, Now, in the invoice, you will have multiple items. So you have data relating to so many items. Then you have the customer, and the customer also will have a billing address, the ship to address, the freight. If there is a third party service provider who is actually handling the freight which will be payable on the consignment. And that would depend upon the location, the nature of the the item being delivered, and also the volume of the item being delivered. So the data which is generated is enormous. So you have a mountain of data to sift through and need to collect all of it easily. We also talk about here the unstructured data which has to be analyzed. So it's not only the structured data, but also the unstructured data. Velocity. So velocity refers to the speed of data, capturing of all these data in real time and providing instant analytics with key performance indicators built to measure the health of the supply chain, exemplifies the velocity component of supply chain big data. Quickly, you are alerted to a disruption or an exception, so you can implement a solution and lower your cost. So what do we mean by velocity? The speed at which this data is being generated. So since you have transactions happening every second, and there are various kinds of transactions, all these information has to be collected. And the important point here to note is that the analytics has to take place in real time. So that means we are saying and providing instant analytics with key performance indicators. The whole purpose of collecting data or analyzing of data is to tell you how we are performing. If we do not know how we are performing, then there is no point in collecting the data. Data by itself doesn't serve any purpose. So it's important to analyze the data in real time, which gives you the opportunity to make corrections. So in case you find that there is something which is going wrong, there is a need to step in and correct the anomaly. Variability. Dependency occurs when a node or a link in a supply chain is dependent on the in full on time, or also what we call it as on time in full. Completion of event at the previous node or the link. If the link in the supply chain is broken, it increases variability, which in turn increases uncertainty. So I'll give the example again here of available to promise. So in available to promise, you have the stock on hand, you have the stock which is under production, and you have some material which is in transit, let's say the raw material. Once it arrives, then you will be producing the balance quantities. Now, when we say variability, assume that one of the equipment breaks down. What it means is that as per the available to promise, you were supposed to receive the material for delivery. And when we say on time in full, that means if you have promised the customer a delivery by a certain time, delivery of the full consignment by a certain time, you are supposed to fulfill it. If you do not fulfill the entire quantity, then it does not fulfill on time in full. Or you deliver the full quantity, but it is delayed, let's say by a certain number of days, then again, it is not on time in full. So on time in full requires that you deliver the full quantity as per the committed time. And here, anything, either your material which is coming in or the raw material which is coming in, material coming in could be, in case you are directly bringing the finished product, if it doesn't arrive on time for whatever reason, then you will not be able to meet your commitment. So this is the variability. So if the link in the supply chain is broken, it increases variability, which in turn increases uncertainty. I hope the point is clear. So big data case study 3. Sometimes industry's data is not only inconsistent, it is also low quality and inaccurate. So we look at the example of Target supermarket. Now Target is a supermarket in the US. They are one of the big chains like Walmart. So in Target, where the barcodes on many items did not match what was in the computer system, causing goods to come into the warehouse much faster than they were going out. So assume, now what happens is that in a, let's say, we are looking at a supermarket or a departmental store, everything is barcoded, and at the time of checkout, that is what we call as the point of sale, it is, the sale is made, and that is recorded by the machine which reads the barcode and bills to the customer. Now assume that for some reason the barcode is wrong. What happens is that it is actually depleting inventory of a particular item in the system when that item is not getting depleted. So let us say that it's a toothpaste, and it's a 200 gram toothpaste which is actually being sold. But when it is being at the point of sale, when they are reading the barcode, it is reading it as a 50 gram toothpaste. So what happens is the system is understanding it as the 50 gram toothpaste stock is depleting. And what will the system do? It will flag and say that you need to replenish the stock of 50 gram toothpaste. The system in turn will order 50 gram toothpaste. But what is happening is that you actually physically are depleting the 200 gram toothpastes. So you have low stocks of 200 gram toothpaste, and you are now building up a high stock of 50 gram toothpaste. So this is the kind of an anomaly that one can land into. The fault could have been from the Target's vendor. So, you know, in many of the products, the barcode is already there on the product. You must have seen that most of the products have a barcode. So when you are actually going to a market, even in India, to a supermarket or a grocery store, you will not find a barcode which is stuck by the seller, the retailer. It is already there on the product. So it is the vendor, the manufacturer has provided a barcode. So the mistake could be of the barcode which is there on the product provided by the vendor, by the buyer. Now I don't see how the buyer can actually influence it, but I presume that there have been cases of frauds where people, when there is a sticker, a barcode in the form of a sticker, what people can do is they can remove the barcode from one item, which is a cheaper item, stick it onto a product which is more expensive. The system doesn't recognize the product by its physical character, but simply by the barcode. So while you are actually selling X product, the billing will be for a Y product. So this is where the buyer angle can come in. The third could be the warehouse computer system. So when the material was received, it was wrongly coded and wrongly received in the system under a wrong code. So these are the three possibilities, you know, by which such a mistake can occur. But regardless, the result was the same. That means the result will be that you will have depletion of one item, whereas you will have pileup of another item. So the company's supply chain got clogged up, and as a result, it lost nearly $1 billion. So what is the machine learning process? Or basically, how do data scientists design an algorithm for machine learning? So these are the various steps. The steps are, you first identify the relevant data sets and prepare for analysis. That means where the data is going to be picked up from, which are the data that you're going to read. The second will be choose the right type of machine learning algorithm for the data set. You will then build an analytical model based on the chosen algorithm. Once the algorithm has been chosen and you have a model, you train the model on the data set and revise them if needed. So what you do is you actually simulate the data set on the model that you have created and look at the outcome or the output that it provides. If the output is as per your expectations or as per the human interpretation, if it is correct, so then it's okay. If it's not, if it is giving you a skewed result, then you need to make further changes to the data model. And finally, you run the model to generate scores and other analytical points. So this is how the machine learning process is built. So in many ways, machine learning is perfect for logistics. It's predictive, revolves around finding patterns in the larger framework of data, and can detect anomalies. So like we said, machine learning takes into account the big data. It also takes into account the current situation, takes into account the demand forecast, etc., which has been generated, and it will then tell you what is to be done based on the parameters or the patterns that have been recognized from the big data, which will then generate decisions that you need to take for the future. So in the climate of COVID-19 pandemic, machine learning has helped companies preemptively adjust their operations to account for public health concerns and changes in demand. So during COVID, a lot of industries were forced to close down. So all the downstream industries also were shut and there was no consumption. Also, there were various concerns. Like for example, in the textile industry, people stopped going to the office. So there was no demand for office wear. So in this kind of a situation, the machine learning helped the companies to predict and to forecast the demand. And while there was a loss of opportunity on one hand, that means, people stopped buying garments, there was an increase in demand for, let's say, bed linens, etc., or towels, because, there were so many hospitals or COVID centers which required these items in very huge numbers. So the machine learning model actually predicted the requirement for this kind of unforeseen demand, and it helped companies plan their inventories better. Because I remember that even the company that I worked for, we had this situation where raw materials which were in transit, we could not stop them, and they did arrive. So temporarily we had a spike in inventories, especially for raw materials and for materials which were being imported from our affiliates. But over a period of time, with the correction in the demand planning or the forecast, we were able to correct the situation and quickly bring down our inventories. So this data can help companies achieve more control over every aspect of the supply chain. When certain parts of the operation lack visibility, it is possible that issues such as security breaches or potential frauds are overlooked. So visibility is the key word here. Basically, all these digital systems or digital transformations, they provide exceptional visibility. Now imagine in the digital era or the digital transformation systems, you are working with lesser inventory. If there is a fraud, like let us say that invoices are being generated, material is being shown as received, but physically material is not received, right? And there is any sort of manipulation, it will quickly come to light, because you will have stock visible in the system, but physically the stock will not be there. Also, there are various checks and validation in the digital system. Like for example, after the material arrives, there is a physical verification. There may be even quality testing randomly done on few of the products, So at times like this, it will be easily detected if there is any kind of a fraud. So keyword here is visibility. Any anomaly can be easily detected, and better verification process can help safeguard critical systems. In the case of problems that require immediate attention, machine learning can provide the critical information needed to respond. So if it detects any anomaly, it will quickly point it out in case of machine learning, and it will help you prevent a major failure by providing this critical information. And critical information to respond, which means that it's basically a decision-making system. It helps you take very informed decisions. Beyond the strategic layer of operations, machine learning can help gain insights into the practicalities of a business. Assets such as equipment, vehicles, and other machinery can be assessed for usage pattern. So for example, machine learning can help you, plan your production activities, your scheduling activities. Now, in the good old days, people always thought that every asset must be flogged. And for doing that, the machines have to be kept running. So even if you didn't have orders, people used to keep on running the machines and producing material in the hope that the orders will come. And what was happening is you were unnecessarily blocking your raw material by processing it into finished product. And this blocked your working capital. The same raw material can be used for other materials, but when you had orders for other products, you didn't have the raw material and you were waiting for fresh raw material to arrive. So the machine learning can also help you in correctly scheduling your equipment and your production schedule in such a way that you only produce that material for which you have firm orders. For things that you don't have orders, you do not produce. So you may keep your machine idle. That way you are reducing the wear and tear, but you are also not blocking your working capital by way of obsolete material. Also, sometimes you are producing excess, and for some reason, if the technology becomes obsolete, the design becomes obsolete, then you are going to be landing with inventories which are obsolete and which you may have to either totally destroy or discard, or you may have to sell it at a heavy discount. So between optimizing equipment cost, accounting for unusual activities, and increasing visibility across the entire supply chain, these tools are proving effective. So each logistics company should have a plan for adopting this technology in a way that integrates with the existing strategic framework. So the strategic framework today is about customer experience. It's about not holding inventory, to produce material based on the actual demand, not a forecasted demand. So you are only planning those things which have very long lead time. For example, if your raw material takes, let's say, 1 month or 2 months to arrive, then you will have to rely on a forecast or demand planning to plan your raw material. But for the production, if the production cycle is, let's say, 2 days or 3 days, you don't need to produce the material and keep it. And you can actually produce the material when the orders are received. And you may have seen that in many of the cases, like in the automobile industry, there is an option given to the customers to customize the vehicle. And a vehicle is actually assembled as per the customer requirement. So he can choose the variant, the kind of seats he wants, the kind of steering he wants, the kind of transmission he wants. And in doing so, you are actually gaining a premium by offering a customized solution. Number two, you are actually making a product which is going to be sold even before it is produced. And no inventory, no working capital is blocked. On the contrary, you may be actually taking an advance from the customer for making a customized product for him. So these are the kind of benefits that one can gain from use of this digitized systems.